appointed. If you'll turn back with me to that psalm, Psalm 4. As I said, we'll briefly look at this psalm tonight. So it's an evening where we can reflect on how God has been with us in our times of need and good times over the past 12 months. We might not feel it at the time, but sometimes we might even ask questions, where are you in this, God? We can always look back and see how faithful our God is and has been during those times. We may even feel God being with us in a trial, and this will bring us closer to God. That is what God always wants for us, to draw closer to Him, especially in our times of need. But this psalm also has a focus on the leaders of the nations, those that make decisions or have significant influence over the running of the country, maybe those with financial clout to turn the minds of others. Maybe this should be one of our prayers for this year as we see our nation turning its back upon the truth of the Bible more and more, where decisions are being made that go against what God wants and how God wants people to live. We can call out, as David does in this psalm in verse 2, O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing, Selah? That we could say about the leaders of our nation in prayer, how long will you turn God's glory into shame? How long will you love pride or going after worthless things? How long will you continue to lie and follow the things that are false? The psalm is considered to be an evening psalm or a hymn, as verse 8 tells us, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Well, the following psalm, Psalm 5, is considered to be a morning psalm. Verse 3 of Psalm 5 says, My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Both are calling upon the Heavenly Father in prayer. A little background to the psalm tells us it's a psalm of David. Although some modern scholars argue against it, however, it is most likely a psalm of David, either when he is talking about the time of Saul's pursuit of him, or when Absalom, his son, was conspiring against him. You can see how either of these occasions would fit with verse 2 of the psalm. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory to shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing, Selah? That David, in his kingly position, was having his glory turned to shame by the sons of men, those that were now opposing him, that should have been for him. This, to me, sits better with the account of Absalom, who was turning David's men, those that were once for him, against him. It therefore also sits well in the book of Psalms, being immediately after Psalm 3, which is about when David fled from Absalom. This is a psalm of lament, but it's also a psalm of confidence that is expressed in the psalm here. You can see how the psalm is laid out. Verse 1 is a prayer. Verses 2 to 5 is a call for trust in the Lord. Verses 6 and 7 are a further prayer before verse 8 is shown as David, or the psalmist, trust in the Lord. The clear message of the psalm is this, that we should have confidence in the Lord. The Lord will not abandon his people in their difficulties and will then restore to them joy and blessings. The psalm itself has a messianic tone, one that is looking forward to a kingly rule. David's anointing has expectations of joy and peace. However, we do know that David did not experience the fullness of this blessing. Neither did all those that opposed him turn back. We know the Old Testament looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. It wasn't until Jesus came that we now have the sure hope as believers of the full blessing of God through Jesus Christ. So verse 1 begins with David in prayer. David, in his need and distress, says, Hear me when I call, O God, O my righteousness. David here is not only addressing his righteous God, but also that God will act and triumphantly relieve him of his innocent suffering. David pours out his heart. He says in this verse, Hear me when I call. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. He then continues with, "Have mercy upon me," before finishing with, "and hear my prayer." It's not clear which distress David is experiencing here. As I stated earlier, it could have been Saul or more likely Absalom. But we can see here that David is expressing his need and humbly coming before the righteous God, who will come down and help his people when they need him. We can then see in verses 2 to 5, David's call to trust in the Lord. David's call to trust in the Lord. Verse 2 then addresses, "O ye sons of men." Well, the wording here doesn't bring out the original Hebrew well. The original Hebrew, it talks of prominent citizens, those that are landowners, the wealthy and the powerful in Israel. These are the people that have turned their backs upon David, those that have influence over the running of the nation. In this verse, it also says, "How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing, Selah?" Well, David is telling us that these people have turned David's glory into shame by betraying him for a worthless cause. As we look at our nation's leaders, we can see the same. They have turned their backs upon God's laws, and people's so-called rights go against what God has instructed us for how we live. In verses 3 to 5, there are seven urgent reasons why those that oppose David and ultimately God are called to respond. Verse 3 says, "No." Verse 4, "Stand in awe," or in other words, "tremble." David then says, "Sin not." Verse 4 then continues to "commune with your own heart," or "search your own hearts," before adding instruction, "and be still," or "silent." Verse 5 then instructs these men to offer the sacrifices of righteousness before finishing with trust in the Lord. These enemies of David should recognize that the Lord has chosen David and not Absalom or Saul. He is the one who is set apart, as verse 3 tells us, that he is the one that the Lord has given his steadfast love to. These enemies are also called to tremble, that they have offended David, but ultimately God. And this is a fearful thing that they have done by turning their backs and going after their own things. It also says, "and sin not," to repent from their ways and come back to the rightful king. Verses 6 and 7 are a further prayer of David. David, in these verses, prays specifically for the nation and also himself. The prayer for the nation is, "Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us, that God's face would shine upon Israel once more." David knows that to have the presence of God upon the nation is a good thing, and this is David's prayer for them. This should also be a prayer for our nation, that God would once again shine his light, send the Holy Spirit to move and convict people. But the emphasis of this psalm is on those who are in prominent positions. That if these people are turned back towards God, this would then help turn the nation back from continuing to go astray. David then turns to himself in verse 7. It reads, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart." David says that despite this opposition, despite the prominent people of the nation turning their back upon him and following after a different king or potential king, David has the personal assurance of God's presence with him. He goes on to say in verse 7, "More than in the time that their corn and their wine increased," that this joy in God is more important than all the food and wine that the world can offer us. It is the fruit of the Spirit that we can read of in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 to 23, that this gives us much more joy than what the world has to offer. That when we as believers see the world prospering or the benefits of the world seem to be increasing, it cannot offer us more joy than what we have in Jesus Christ. That this joy cannot be replaced by the benefits of the world. The psalm concludes with the verse, "I will lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Those that have opposed David and gone after vain things in an attempt to oppose the king, Those that have asked, where is the prosperity gone in verse 6? David is not concerned about the outcome of this. He has trusted in the Lord, and because of this, I will lay me down in peace and sleep. David's confidence is in God alone. This is the reason that he's able to sleep at night. The words, makest me dwell in safety, tells us that David is not concerned about his enemies or those that oppose him, but that he is at peace because of it. May we continue to pray for our nation's leaders and prominent people as they turn from their pursuit of darkness rather than light, that they turn back to God's laws rather than their own man-made laws, that we as a nation seem to oppose God more and more, have our confidence in God still. As verse 8 says, I will lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. That even if we do not see this nation turning back to God, our hearts are fixed upon God and the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and this will give us peace and sleep despite how the nation behaves and acts. Amen. Well, let's sing our next hymn, and then I'll open it up to people to contribute as they wish. Again, it's Christian hymn 760, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. Sir Abel, please do stand.